Ziad Basarabi, how are you this morning?
I'm a bit nervous, Howard, hearing about scalping and wrecking balls and fire. Are you like a bull in a china shop this morning?
Honestly, Ian, yes.
Well, we can feel it from the side, Howard. I'm just waiting for something to go crash.
I believe in owning my stuff. In fact, a good friend of mine messaged me yesterday saying, I am so irritable. And she said to me, she is just so irritable. She wants to like smash somebody. And I said, me too. I think we have days like that. And I think lockdown does make it worse.
Absolutely. And I think that I'm starting to feel, you know, everybody talks about these grief stages that we go through, and they say that you start off with denial. So you go, this virus won't affect us and it's just flu. And then you get into the one that you've just spoken about, anger, where you get irritable.
Yeah, that's me. I am angry, Ian. Yeah. Angry.
Yeah.
We should have switched Ian and David around.
So I hope
maybe.
You're not hangry. That's more dangerous.
Well, I am doing intermittent fasting.
Oh, God. So you
add a bit of hangry to hangry and angry, and then one never knows what's going to happen. Yeah. So it is, I think that is where we're at. And I do think that, a lot of the time during this work from home, isolation, lockdown, it's a mental balance. It is finding a way for our minds to dominate what could be a very negative space.
Absolutely. And I think that having too much time is sometimes a bad thing. And we've got too much time to overthink things. And we ponder and we try to work out things, and we overanalyze, and that's what I'm finding now, is that everybody is trying to find a solution for a problem they don't actually understand. And I know that sounds contradictory, but that's exactly what it is we're so in this state of not knowing which direction to go, so we're looking at every possible route to take, and instead of just stepping forward and actioning, we're looking at each route and saying, well, which one's better, but nobody's ready to move. But now, as we start moving, well, as the environment starts going into reduced lockdown and we go into level 4, level 3, whatever, and however that's going to happen, it means that we actually now have to move. So we're moving into what's called this acceptance space, where we accept that this is happening. And now we have to figure out how to proceed. And this is where we have to put the analysis aside and start focusing on actually taking steps into the new way of work.
So what's interesting about that is this whole concept, and I think it works, it's quite interesting in that it works quite well with what you're saying, is this whole thing of ruminating, is that a mistake that we often make is that we ruminate. In other words, there's this, and there's actually a tremendous difference in all the studies between men and women. Men, when things are bad or they get depressed or they're getting upset about something, what they'll do is they'll act. So sometimes it's terrible, it's negative, they'll go drinking and beating people up and behaving in that way. Other times they'll go and play golf, or they'll play cards, or they'll play sport. So men act, and in fact they did all of these studies where they asked men and women who are miserable, what would they rather do? Would they rather list a feeling all of their emotions, or would they rather list countries according to their GDP? And 70% of men chose that they wanted to rather list countries according to their GDP, and 70% of women said that they actually would prefer to list their emotions. So women are more susceptible to ruminating, to talking about their stuff over and over again. Men, on the other hand, don't get the balance right either. Somewhere in the middle is the answer, is that we have to understand what we're dealing with, but we've also got to move. We've actually got to get up and do stuff. And I think it's a very, very important point for us to consider at this.
So Howard, just to pick up on that theme about the difference between men and women, and I was actually reading a Forbes article earlier in the week, and it turns out that if you look at it, that women leaders are actually handling the COVID crisis better than men leaders. I don't think that should come as a surprise, but
no, it doesn't. But I'm interested as to why.
And that's the fascinating thing, is that What they say is that women acted first, and they made bold and unpopular calls.
Interesting.
And if you look at, and if you look at one, and I think most people now know the how well New Zealand handled the crisis. Mm. It was through, first of all, I think taking those bold and shutting down the country and putting in the hard. Making the hard decisions and putting in the tough restrictions.
Yeah, let's just keep things in perspective. There are 12 people who live there and nobody wants to visit. So it was, it wasn't
fair
that,
point.
It wasn't
point.
That difficult.
The weather,
but
the
no, I'm being,
great. Yeah.
I'm being flippant. It is, she handled it unbelievably well.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is the second part of it is that they weren't afraid. Female leaders tend to be less concerned about putting on this facade. There's a fantastic clip. I must find it and send it to you, where you actually see a picture of the Prime Minister of New Zealand sitting like with a sweatshirt on and talking to her phone like somebody would be doing on Instagram or something like that, not like somebody who you would see as a leader. Mm. And that, I think, caused a relationship with forged the relationship with the people and people the leadership. I think another one was where she made a comment and everybody laughed initially, but it made such a big difference. As she said that the Easter Bunny was an essential worker. You know,
yes,
and it was just showing that human
that.
Side.
To me, that was special. The other thing actually that happened earlier in the week or late last week was they've opened up coffee shops and cafes with obviously very limited numbers of people that were allowed to attend. And she wanted to go to a coffee shop and she walked in and they said, sorry, we're at our peak number. And she said, cool. And she waited. Either waited a turn or went somewhere else. She was turned away just as every other citizen would be. She very much identified with it. And I do think that that's the issue is that perhaps, she was less afraid to speak to the vulnerability around it. Whereas a lot of leaders, for example, Trump, and in fact many leaders around the world tried to convey a confidence that everybody knew that they didn't have. And we actually didn't expect them to have because nobody knew what was going on. All we wanted them to do was make the best, most rational decisions for the country.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's okay to just turn around and say, we don't know. You know, rather than come up with some strange answer or response, and you use Trump as an example, Trump, sometimes I actually wonder if all the pieces are moving at the same time. You know, like just things are just so out of sync that he says
cue
things.
The listener and response. Three, two, one. So hopefully we've taken it down a notch. Ian, so how do we work with this mind over matter business?
So Howard, I think that we're all going into a new space at the moment, and there's this whole concept now that's coming out about what we call a blended environment. And essentially what a blended environment means is that because everybody, there's a staggered approach to ending the lockdown, and we know that workplaces will become a blend of physical and virtual environments. We need to be mindful that the change back to our office environments are going to be totally different. And for some people that go in trying to recreate the past are going to struggle. And it is for this reason that when I engage with people, when I'm saying to people, change your mindset or reset your mindset. What I'm essentially saying is go in with what we call a beginner's mindset. And what we say about a beginner's mindset is go in as if you know nothing, or go in to ask all of the questions and to start, like almost as some people would say, with a blank canvas, because we don't know how things are going to change. We do know that they're going to continually change. I think that's the certainty. But to try and go in with all the solutions and to try and overdo things. I'm not saying be risky and not put in the precautions. We know what precautions we need to put in terms of social distancing, in terms of hygiene, etc. But in terms of actually bringing your business back, don't overcomplicate things. Rather go in and with this open mindset And it's a great opportunity for people to rethink things. And that's why I say, take this opportunity to go with a fresh canvas. And for me, a lot of people are struggling with that because they're sitting trying to over-prepare. I guess to use your running analogies that you use, it's like trying to over-prepare for a race. There's only so much you can do, but on the day, you actually have to perform and you will adjust accordingly.
So would you recommend that we spend some of this time strategizing? I mean, because we don't really have much choice. There's only a certain amount that you can physically do. So maybe what we have to do is try and look at how will our world, our environment look when things start opening up, and maybe divide that into stages, because the next 2 months is going to look different to the 3 months following that. And in fact, in a year's time, hopefully COVID will be under control. Maybe it won't be, but the world will have shifted slightly. So how will our business or how will our environment look then?
Absolutely, Howard. So to answer your question, should we be strategizing? I think what we should be doing is we should be taking a very creative and innovative approach to problem solving. We need to make this as difficult as it may be with all the noise going on around us, is we need to try and actually make this fun. And the way you make this fun is you include everyone, is see this as probably one of the biggest opportunities and one of the biggest experiments that we've all been given the opportunity to be involved in. And if you're a leader in an organization, you should encourage your individuals to focus on how they see the strategy. And don't be judgmental. Don't just push an idea aside because you don't like the idea. Listen to what people think about new working routines. And ask people, what do they think in terms of new ways of servicing customers versus the older style? You know, there's no wrong answer, in my opinion, at this time. The only thing that is wrong is trying to fill a circle into a square, trying to put something in place that either is not practical at this point in time or something we know is going to put other people at risk. So as long as you're managing those two aspects, allow people to be part of this journey, include them. And in that way, when people ease back or they start moving back into their environments, they feel that they've been part of this new environment or this new way of working rather than something that's been pushed onto them.
So what is your personal strategy? How are you, and I don't mean in terms of your business, but in terms of your approach, because that's, I think, how I would like to leave it with our listeners, is to give them some sense, because no matter what you're doing, no matter what business you're involved in, you have to assume that it's going to change. Some businesses might evolve a lot easier. Some will be more of a struggle. But what process would you recommend that our listeners put in place in order to figure out the next year or the next couple of years?
So I think what you need to do is you need to, and the one thing I always, I'm a firm proponent is we're all in control of our attitude. And if we start off does Anati not believe she's in control of her attitude?
No, I don't think she does. I mean, I see her behavior today. Aggressive.
Aggressive, huh? Okay. Zanati, please. Right. Please. Yes. We don't want Howard to play more music that's gonna get us all riled up and all that. So control your attitude. But I think an attitude of optimism, Howard, is something that we should all be focusing on and adopting. And it's not easy. So that's why I want to try and give people tips in terms of how they can actually start looking at an optimistic way of looking forward. And we've spoken about routines, but we've spoken about routines at a very high level. I think it's now very important to actually set goals, is to wake up every morning or even the night before, is choose specifically goals you can confidently achieve today. Not something that you can achieve when we get to level one or level two or next year. What can you practically do today? And that means individually or that means with your teams. It all depends on the situation. I think it's also important to reframe your situations. You've got to look at the positive and the negative situations in terms of what lessons have we learned. So if things didn't work, as an example, with remote working or things under lockdown, what were the positives though that we can take out and focus on those situations? I think the most important thing and it kind of links back to Dr. Marburg's point is connect with positive and supportive people. Have calls with people that inspire you. You know, yesterday I had two calls, which were not business related, but they were just with people that uplift me. And just by listening to them and getting their inputs actually helped me to get through the day. And I think the most important thing is we keep telling people about checking in the morning. I think it's important to start checking in at the end of the day and do a positive check-in. Reflect back and ask yourself, what did you do really well today? And what are you happy about? And through that, you'll be able to grow every single day so that when you look back at the end of the week, you can actually measure success. But to start the week out looking at a mountain that you've got to climb and it looks insurmountable can be very dangerous. And at this point, we're very worried about people's mental health. So if you can break things into bite-sized pieces and address them, I think people will be a lot more successful and feel a lot more inspired to tackle the day.
Absolutely, absolutely wise words. We're going to leave it there. It is 8:35. Ian Basrabi, thank you. As always, the future of work.